Trying to get this. There we go. Good to see you guys tonight. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, shocking, chapter 7, finishing up tonight. So, and I promise I'd read you a prayer letter. I'll do that toward the end when we're off the recorder. And but don't let me forget it. And I know you won't. All right. So we've been talking in 1 Corinthians 7 and teaching on the call of the unequally yoked. And let me quiz you. What is the first thing I covered under the call of the unequal yoke? What is the first point that we talked about? Okay. Stay married. That's right. Stay married if you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we covered that in verses 12 and through 13. And then last time we got together, we talked about saving something. What were we going to save? You can. It's the we save the family is the second thing that we talked about. And so we started off, as we talked about that, the fact that if someone is unequally yoked, there is a call upon their life. There's a call for them, and God has a purpose for them. And if they can, of course, they can't always stay married. And obviously, it does impact the family oftentimes when there is a divorce. And so tonight, the thing I want to talk about, the third point, if you have your notes, your outline, we're going to be talking about serving the Lord. That's the third point there. So the call of the unequal yoke: stay married, save the family, and then serve the Lord. So if you have your text there, we're going to wrap it up tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. And so I'm the one that needs to get there. Hang on just a sec. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 through 24. The Bible says here, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being uncircumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price, and be not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God." Heavenly Father, as we come to your throne tonight, Lord, thank you for this beautiful singing. Ron was singing that incredible song. I love that song Martin Luther used to crank out. And "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And Lord, we're so thankful for just the reality of the Word of God. And we're thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. We pray tonight as we continue in this study of 1 Corinthians 7 that you bless it, that our prayer tonight would be powerful. Lord, we'll be talking about that in a couple weeks on Sunday morning. Lord, we pray, God, that the things that we cover here, Lord, would be profitable for the body of Christ, and that, Lord, you would be glorified in this church service tonight. We pray and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. You know, this is the reality, is that we need to yoke up with Christ first. Really, what Paul is dealing with here is the reality that what really sets a marriage apart in the first place, is our focus is not on the Lord. And we get unequally yoked to start with. So really, he comes back around in 1 Corinthians 7, 17, and he begins to deal with this subject of yoking up with Christ first. That's the main thing. Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. This is a familiar passage to most of us, but you might want to turn over there. Matthew 11 and verse 29. The Bible says here, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And so it's important that we do go to the Lord. This, you know, we talk about the great commandment and the great commission. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and the neighbor as thyself. Right, that's the great commandment. Then there's the great commission, which we quote often from Matthew 28. Well, this is the great invitation. And this passage is important because point A in your outline, stay in the state that you're called. And that's really what Paul's talking about in verses 17 through 20. You can walk in the Lord. That's really what he's saying. You can walk in the Lord. As he's distributed to every man, so as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, right? And we talk about walking in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Lord. You're not a second-class saint just because your spouse is lost. And so someone is unequally yoked and they're in the church, we don't need to treat them like a second-class citizen. Whatever their circumstances, even, you know, whatever the circumstances, if they're in a place where they're trying to serve the Lord, give them every opportunity to serve the Lord. Now, obviously, there could be limitations. There could be things that would hinder them. But you know what? The Apostle Paul says, hey, however you come in, just stay there and walk. Now, we know from 1 Peter 3, right? The wife, her job is to win the husband. The husband, his job is to win the wife. That's very clear. We've already covered that. And so let them walk, right? Let them walk. It doesn't say crawl, right? It doesn't say roll around on the ground. Let them walk. Let them go. You don't have to be married to serve. Oh, that's shocking, right? Especially in the church, we often focus on that. And in the church today, we have to really be wise to that. Paul's made it very clear that there's some advantages to being unmarried. But even if you're in a situation where you're unequally yoked, you can serve if God will allow it, if the husband will allow it, if the wife will be good with that, and of course serving the Lord is part of it, and they're okay with that, then praise the Lord. If you find yourself single, the Apostle Paul says use it. If Paul himself was at one time married to be a Pharisee. He was a married man. And we don't know what happened to his wife. But now that he's loosed from a wife, he says in verse 32, I would have you without carefulness, that he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. And I'm looking for the verse where he says, I just lost it. I wish you were like me. It just fell out of my head. In verse 8. Oh yeah, it's on the other page. It's on the right spot on the wrong page. I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. So Paul's in a situation where he says, you know what, for whatever reason, whether his wife passed away or whether he was written off and divorced, whatever the case may be under the Jewish law, he says, I'm single now and that's the way I'm going to stay. And God gave him that grace. So serving God is no excuse to sever your marriage, by the way. That would be a terrible excuse to sever a marriage. And human nature is kind of weird like that. I'm going to serve the Lord, so I got to divorce my spouse. Well, that's a terrible idea. It's not biblical. It's not consistent with everything else that we've learned with staying married and saving the family. Be careful not to lose your marriage because your quote service to God. Right? That's also a reproach. You're not doing God any favors if you're not fulfilling marital obligations. A lost spouse is not going to understand your sacrifice like a saved spouse. And just because your spouse is saved, that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily understand if they're not walking in the Spirit. And so walking in the Spirit and serving the Lord is the key. Abide in your calling. Verse 20, Paul's very clear. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So abide means to dwell, right? It means to stay with. Stay in the state that God has saved you, if at all possible. And so here's point B fill in the blank. Serve Christ in every circumstance, right? Verses 21 through 23. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For that he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So serve God as a spouse, right? That's the calling. That's our calling. Serve God as a single. That's your calling. And so if you're if you are espoused and you're, or not espoused, but if you have a spouse, serve God. If you don't have a spouse, if you're single, serve God. Either way, serve Christ first. Because in verse 23, he says, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. So ultimately, service needs to be rendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, after all, Jesus Christ. And so that's who we should serve. So serve Christ in every circumstance, in every circumstance. Certainly, it's important to be careful and to understand the needs of the spouse, lost or saved, and to be prudent in how we administrate our service. But at length, our service is to the Lord, so we do have to serve the Lord. And so, point C, stay focused on your eternal home. That's also important. In verse 24, the Bible says, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with Christ. And so, every man should abide or live with God. So we are in Christ. We're seated together in heavenly places. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians is a rich passage. It's a rich chapter. And so, okay, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9. verse 6. And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So when you think about what it means to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ, there's a lot to that. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 speaks to the reality of one baptism. The Apostle Paul says there's in verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And when we cross-reference that with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, we find that we're baptized right in the Spirit. The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so when we get saved, of course, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Our life is truly hid in Christ. I was thinking about this just the other day when it comes to the marital relationship and how these two, right, shall become one flesh. These twain shall become one flesh. All the way back, Jesus, as he's preaching, and we covered this a few weeks ago, and he's talking to the Pharisees in Matthew about, you know, I gave you a bill of divorcement. Why? Because the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, it wasn't like that. When two came together, they were one flesh. And that's the way God would have that. And I was thinking about how, as I've been teaching through Revelation, about the catching away of the church and the role of the church. And really, you can even see it in the book of Revelation. As the church is taken up, she is hid in Christ. She's hid in Christ. You don't see her. Why? Because they're one flesh. Jesus Christ goes before us. And so at the second coming of Christ, the focus is on His return, even though we know that we return with Him, because we are not only seated together in heavenly places, but we'll return with Him, and we are submissive to Him, and our life is hid in Him. There is one body, and they are twain, but they're different. My body and Amy's body are different, but we really are one. And so it's really important when it comes, especially to couples who aren't divorced and they're Christian couples. The Bible's really clear that we can hinder one another, right, in our inheritance. So if I'm not serving the Lord, if the Lord isn't my first priority, then I affect Amy's inheritance. I mean, Amy can be affected in eternity because of the way I live my life, and vice versa. Why is that? Because though we're obviously separately going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're uniquely tied together. What an incredible marriage. What a picture that is of how integral the relationship is between Christ and the church. We should have a close relationship with Christ, obviously. And Christ being in us is a big deal. And so the way we go about our business is huge. Because if I fumble the ball, that's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect my kids as well. But my kids are responsible. When they come of age, they're going to be responsible for their own walk with the Lord. But the person you marry, that's a big deal. And that's why divorce isn't looked upon lightly. And so it's important for Christians in this group, we're all primarily Christians probably, I hope, it's important that we marry right, and that beyond being married, right, in that utopian concept, that we serve the Lord in marriage, because that's ultimately what marriage is about, is being yoked together with the Lord, serving the Lord, so that we bring honor and glory to the Lord, but also we benefit, it's mutually beneficial to this person you're married to. So we should compliment them in that we are serving the Lord in a way that's going to help them at the judgment seat of Christ bring glory to the Lord, and conversely, they're going to help us in a way that will benefit the Lord. So you see that worked out in ministry, and you see that when a couple's in ministry, and it's kind of sad to see sometimes, because you'll see a couple serving together in ministry, and you can see the complement that they are in ministry. Perhaps he's got some certain gifting and just incredible, but yet he's weak on the backside on this area, and his wife comes in and swoops in and takes care of that, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing, and the ministry flourishes. But something happens, right? If something goes wrong in the heart, it doesn't have to be him, it could be her. If it doesn't have to be her, it could be him. You know, something's just not clicking on all eight, and the next thing you know, they're not in the ministry. And the purpose that God put them together for, that was bringing glory to God, is absent. And that's a sad thing to see. It's like the candle just kind of flickers out and goes away. And that's a troubling thing. Because ultimately, the glory is not about each other. It's not about, oh, what a beautiful picture. Ultimately, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him and bringing Him honor and glory. That's the purpose of our marriages, is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And so when that all busts up, the devil gets the advantage, and a Christian's sitting there feeling completely destroyed, because this all this stuff that I'm just talking about isn't happening, isn't working in their life. There is a moment in time, that's where we as a church need to come around them and say, hey, look, it's not over for you, because now you can give attention to the Lord and give your full attention to the Lord. Continue to serve the Lord. Continue to follow the Lord. Don't be preoccupied immediately with who your next husband is going to be or who your next wife is going to be. You need to preoccupy yourself right now with serving the Lord. Yes, if there's a time you're widowed or you're in a situation where you're single and you're working the corners of the fields and God wants to provide you a Boaz, He'll do it, right? If you're out in the field laboring and God wants to provide you a Rachel, He'll do it. But get busy about serving the Lord, because that is what God... that's what God would have. What's that, Dell? Yeah, He really did. But Dell, whoa, man, that's crazy. And so our Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. In John chapter 14, this is a really beautiful passage. Let's go back there. You guys know this, but it's sweet to think about. When you think about how God wants to dwell with us and we're seated together in heavenly places, really our resources are in heaven, not on earth. And so in John chapter 14, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Right? Maybe you're in a situation where you're like, man, everything on the earth, on the earthly plane, has just gone to pot. My marriage gets busted, this happened, that happened, and now I'm just sitting here by myself. Well, hey, gather yourself up together in the Lord and get focused on things above, because this is what the Bible says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. When it finally comes to the place where you can't believe in your spouse because he or she's cheated on you so many times, you can't even keep that together, and you can't believe in yourself maybe because you've done so many things that it's all busted up, then you know what you can do? You can believe in the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Why? Because if you're truly born again, you're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. He's got a place for you. He's reserving. We talk about that sometimes like it's some sort of fantasy, like it's some sort of, you know, just a good thing to say at a funeral. No, it's actually what we're actually laboring for. Because we want to get to the other side and say, wow, praise the Lord. We know the Lord has gone before, and He's preparing a place for us. God has a purpose for every body part. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every member of the body is important. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12 is all about. And we don't have a proper estimation, and as humans sometimes we get things out of whack. And so the reality is Christ does have a proper estimation of what the value of every soul is. And He has said everyone is valuable. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross. He didn't shed His blood because people weren't valuable. He shed His blood because He values the souls. And so our mind needs to be right, and we don't need self-esteem, we need God-esteem. And so that is what's going to adjust our hearts. Let our hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Christ, that Christ has gone before us to prepare a place for us. And while He is in us now, He's doing a work right now. He is the head of the corner, as we talked about this morning. He is building a house, the household of faith, and all that enter therein have put their faith in Christ. So He goes to prepare a place for us. And He talks literally about many mansions, right? And people like to talk about, well, He's not talking about a mansion. He's talking about an abode, and it's like an apartment. You know what? I don't really care what it is, because I mean, you don't. It's like Jesus talking to the Sadducees. You do it greatly error not knowing the Scriptures, right? So the eternal weight of glory is so far beyond what we get on this side that I guarantee you, you could give me a broom closet in heaven, and it is going to be far exceeding any temporal dwelling and abode that you're ever going to find on this house or on this house on this earth. And so what He has prepared for us. Man, it's going to be an incredible thing. And so He goes to prepare a place for you. And not only that, He will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, where is Christ right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. And that's why we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ, because we have been joined together. So if every other relationship, human relationship, is broken down, and divorce is devastated, you guess what you can count on? You have a relationship, if you're born again, you have a relationship with Christ that cannot and will not be severed. And it's not that we don't reap what we sow, and there's not all kinds of implications when we sin, because God is just in that regard as well. But at the end of the day, you can still rest in the fact that if you're still breathing, God is still doing a work in you. Philippians 1 is very clear in that. God is still work. And so what you got to do is repent and realize, wait a minute, I need to set all my affection on things above instead of things of this earth. Make this my primary relationship. And trust the Lord for His provision, because the relationship I need more than any other one on earth is His. So let me serve Him with my whole heart. And you know what? He'll take care of all the other stuff. Paul got so caught up into that, he's like, you know what, guys? There was a time I needed to be married, but right now I'm just trusting the grace of God just to run this thing out, because I'm more valuable to the Lord without a spouse. So I'm just going to do this. And that's what he did, and I'm sure that paid off. So let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. Jesus isn't going to lie to you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And with that hope, we should serve the Lord. So stay married, right? Stay married. 1 Corinthians 7:12-13. Save the family. 1 Corinthians 7:14-16. And serve the Lord. So married or single, what often happens is couples find themselves unequally yoked. And they end up plowing in this life, hooked up with the burdens of life, and it hinders their effectiveness for God. Not only unequally yoked, like with unbelievers, right? That's the big cardinal sin, and it is a cardinal sin. Don't get married to someone who's lost. That's just stupid. Don't get into a contract with people that are lost, right? Don't make a compact with an infidel, with Belial, with the devil. Don't do that. That's just dumb, right? So don't do that. But beyond that, right? What often happens in a spiritual situation is a man won't lead his spouse, his wife, and the next thing you know, he's blaming her for problems. And at length, guess whose fault it is? It's his. Because he's not taking care of the garden that God's given him. Or vice versa. She's not praying for her husband. She's not living with a meek and quiet spirit. She's not trying to win him with her conversation. She's complaining and groaning in like a leaky faucet, you know, Proverbs. And he'd rather be up on the corner of the housetop than being in that house, right? And so now what's happened? Even if they're Christians, because they're walking in the flesh, right, and the works of the flesh are manifest instead of the fruit of the Spirit, now this couple that we can put in the category of equally yoked, because they both made a profession of faith, they both walked an aisle, or they both got saved, they've both been through discipleship one, they've both been to church, are operating as though they're unequally yoked. Because why? Ultimately what's happened is the only thing that keeps a couple together, the glue that keeps a marriage together, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We've got to serve Christ. If not, you're going to have problems. So no matter where you've been or what mistakes you made, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. So maybe there's some people that have made mistakes in marriage, and today their heart is heavy, and they got burdens, and they got guilt, they got shame, they got all the things that hinder you. Well, today the Lord wants to take those burdens off. And that's why we come to prayer meeting, because God is able to reason with us. And it's a great place to reboot. If you can live through Sunday morning and not get convicted and not reboot, then I don't know if Sunday night's going to do it for you. But Sunday night's another time when we come together and we can pray and we can reboot. Now, Isaiah 1:18 says this, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Think about that. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The British have a saying, bloody this and bloody that. I mean, that is a very, very negative term in the English language of the Brits. Around here, it's not such a big deal. But our sin is bloody. It's bloody. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so today, maybe you just need to be encouraged in the trial you face. And so there's an old hymn. Have you ever heard the hymn, When We See Christ? Yeah, that's a good old hymn. It goes like this. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. And then the refrain goes like this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. No matter where you're called, serve. Right? Serve the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy. If you're in Christ, He's worthy. And He is the one that really has yoked us up and seated us together in heavenly places. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and if it wasn't so, He would have told us. And that is you know what? That is where we need to be focused. If we can start there, all the other relationships will work themselves out. Even if they don't work themselves out the way we would like, we can still serve the Lord, and the Lord will bless us because He promises to wash away all the sin. Though it be as crimson, they'll be white as snow. And serving Christ will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Isn't it easy to get discouraged, to get distracted, to get focused on things on this earth instead of things in heaven? And today, among all the times that we live, with all the technology and all the messaging that bombards our minds and our hearts, it's so important that we focus on things above. That's why Colossians 3 was written, for us, that we set our affection, right, on things above. Not just knowledge, but our heart needs to be yoked up to the one who has given Himself for us, the one who has gone to prepare a place for us. If your husband's a deadbeat and won't provide for you, guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ has already gone before to provide for you. If your wife's not meeting all your needs, guess what? The Lord has already gone ahead to meet all your needs. And He is the only thing that any of us can ultimately really trust in. And when we rest in that, the relationships here really get to be a lot easier. So it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials, as bad as they may seem today, they're going to seem small when we see Christ. And when we see His face, man, all sorrow. Think about that. All sorrow erased. Right? Now, I will say this. The tears don't get wiped away till after the great white throne. And so the one thing that we can concern ourselves is not with ourselves, but with the people who will forever be separated from God. And I do wonder what it'll be like to see people that we see today being cast in the lake of fire. And so as we go out of here, that's one of the things that we need to be thinking about. God's gone out of His way to prepare a place for us. But you know what? We're not put here to worry about us. We're left here after our salvation to worry about others. Because we're set. God's already gone to prepare a place for me. But what about the people around me? What about my neighbor? What about people that come to Next Steps meetings that don't know the Lord? That's the thing that we need to be focused on. Serving the Lord and His purposes. And that's where we'll find fulfillment. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to meet tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look at 1 Corinthians 7 and get into these issues of marriage being yoked, being unequally yoked, and all kinds of details in marital counsel that we've covered the last several weeks. Lord, it's been very practical, very hands-on. And Lord, we're thankful for your provision and your wisdom and your word. And we're not done yet. The next section we'll be talking about virgins. How do we handle that? And what's the ideal situation? And Lord, we're thankful for your word. But tonight, as we conclude this time, we understand that we need to just be content with what we have and just serve you. If we're unequally yoked, if we're yoked, as we come into Christ, let's serve you. And so as Paul was saying, if one came in as a Jew and was circumcised, then care not for it. Serve in that fashion. If one was uncircumcised, no need to go get circumcised. Stay uncircumcised and just continue to serve the Lord. Lord, may we be focused on the spiritual matters. May we be focused on things above. May our hearts be tuned tonight for this prayer meeting, as there's many things to consider before us. And we pray, God, that you'd be glorified in all that we say and do tonight. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, I want to read this prayer letter. Let me turn off my mic here, and then I will do that. And so I got a prayer letter this week.